From Operation Mobilisation, we welcome Philip Rose to the programme. Hello, Philip.
Hi, good morning.
You have been away to a missionary camp with Operation Mobilisation to Serbia. Could you tell us more about that and how you got involved with that?
OM International, we work in, as most folks know, we work in over 110 countries across the world. And because of the refugee crisis, we'll be working in particularly across Europe, called the Safe Passage Project, from Lesbos all the way across to Germany. In every country we have a team helping to serve the refugees, etc. And particularly where I was in Serbia, we were asked by the UN to help them out, the United Nations, UNHCR and the Red Cross who are there. And there's a camp, I call it a camp, but basically it's an old service station next to the motorway. And there's 1,200 refugees there, and as most folks know, the borders are closed now for refugees. The flow has been stopped, and so they're stuck there. Some have been there 6 months or more, and some are just fairly recent. So there's nothing for them to do. They get fed morning, afternoon and evening, and in between, it's like Groundhog Day is the best way to describe it. There's nothing for them to do. So during the winter there, it was pretty bleak for them. And OM put a call out to OMers across the world to help supplement the current team that's there, to give them time off. So each week there's new people arrive, like I did, and spent a week there serving at about 600 cups of tea a day in my shift and befriending the refugees. That was the kind of core work that OM are doing. So it's not evangelism, it's not preaching, but it's just one-to-one, just chatting to people and hearing the stories, Rob.
All right, okay. And what were conditions like in the camp? I mean, given that people had nothing to do, but was it good, clean sanitation or what?
We weren't allowed because of the nature of, you could say this is their home, so we weren't allowed to go into their accommodation. So we have a tent at the camp, plus there's other tents because there's too many of them to go into the old hotel building. And like there's a tent there which houses 150 men in three-tier bunk beds.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine during the winter that was Baltic, freezing cold.
I can only imagine. What is the general temperatures in Serbia just at the moment?
Well, at the moment when I left, it's gone down at the moment, but when I left last week it was 26 degrees the last 5 days. So in the winter they came into our tent for chai and heat, because our tent was heated, and now they come into our tent for chai and they sit in the shade of our tent and use our tables and benches to play drafts and also table tennis and Uno or whatever, just to kind of break the monotony. That's what we do in OM. We supplied all this. I took over colouring books and colouring pencils, and the kids were, their wee eyes lit up when they didn't have any of that at all. They don't have any luxuries. So, yeah, it was just good to be there. At the end of the day, we're really a sounding board for them, and just to hear some of the stories, the tragic stories of some people, it's just to be God's hands and feet and ears, and just to listen. And I'm still in contact with some of them through Facebook, because the hotel service station has Wi-Fi that the government have provided. So that helps them contact the relatives back home, and also those who they're hoping to meet. The refugees mainly come from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Iran and Pakistan. That's the bulk of the ones that I spoke to and who I befriended.
And as you said, it's Groundhog Day for them. What's the sort of general mood like? I mean, you're able to do only so much.
The mood varies. Sometimes the tempers flare. But at the end of the day, you know, they get on well with one another, considering they're from various backgrounds and from various faiths. Of various Muslim faith and also those of no faith, and then the ones that I chatted with and had a good rapport with as the Christians. If I was to recount two stories to you, one, a guy called Yarnazeb, he's from Afghanistan. He was about a year old and his mother died So he had no mother figure in his life. He was put pelleted post from uncles to aunts, and his dad looked after him as best he could. But then his dad was imprisoned by the Taliban for 7 years, and in that 7 years he was tortured, brutally tortured and beaten. And when he was released after 7 years, he huge mental health issues. So him and his dad left Afghanistan and went to Pakistan, and Janazeb went to college there and studied business management. Well, his dad was getting counselling and support, but then it became Parkinson's and he died. So he was left with nothing, no family there, and put into Afghanistan. There was nothing there for him, still the Taliban. So he fled across Europe and ended up in Serbia. And I could tell by his whole demeanour that he just needed someone to love him, someone to listen to his story. And he's on his own, whereas a lot of others are with friends and stuff. He travelled himself. That's his one story. Another one is a couple called Sahi and Mohsin. They're from Iran. Both of them were previously married and got divorced. And for Moshe, that was fine. He's a man, you can get divorced. But for Sahi, as a woman, that's frowned upon. They have, as you know, women in that faith have no real rights of any sort. And she had a son, and then she met Mohsin, and they get married. So that was frowned upon. And then she studied law and philosophy, and through that she graduated and had her own business. And through studying philosophy, she started researching into other religions and faith. And from that, to cut a long story short, she became a Christian. And Mohsin became a Christian as well. But in Iran, it's against the law to change faith. So they were reported, one of his relatives reported them to the security forces. So they knew then that their time was coming to an end because they were going to be killed, because that's what they do. So he owned his own company, his own business, so they closed it down, closed their house down, and then fled across Europe, going through countries like Macedonia, Montenegro, Bulgaria, etc. And in Bulgaria, they're in a camp in a tent, and it was minus 10, 15 degrees, and it's something that they hadn't experienced before. And she has MS. And she woke up one morning in a lot of pain and couldn't walk because her legs were turning black with the cold.
Oh.
So the medics there poured vodka over her legs
help.
To stimulate the blood flow. From there, they fled into Turkey, into Izmir, paid €1,600 to be on a boat, take them to Kos in Greece, and then they spent the next 3 months going through the various countries. At one point, there was 13 of them inside a car that crashed, and then eventually they've been a couple of months now in Serbia. And amazing people, a lovely, lovely couple, you know, and so genuine. And when you talk to them and hear their stories, you know, they just cry and you cry. When we were leaving, you know, we gave each other a hug and I prayed for them, and I've been in contact with them on Facebook. Yeah, sad stories, and what do we do? All we can do is pray that governments will come to some sort of agreement to allow the refugees to move on. Because, okay, some people will say, well, why should we let refugees in this country? We've got too many of them. That may be the case, and they'll say that they're economic migrants. That may also be the case. But we've had economic migrants in the West for the last 50, 60 years or more. There's nothing new. But coupled with that, we'll get people who are fleeing for their lives. Believe me when I say it, that they would love to go back to their own countries and continue their lives there, but it's too dangerous for them. They'd be killed, and some have been killed. Even some of the Christians in some of the boats that don't tell you in television. Is it in some of the boats when they're sailing from Turkey to Greece, if they found out that somebody was a Christian, they'd throw them overboard and they'd be drowned. Rob, that's not a cheery story here on Good Friday.
Well, indeed, but these are all human stories about real people who have a life, in a sense, before them, which has been cut short, but a life in which, wherever they are, they can actually give so much if only they are allowed to, fully be able to settle and have some form of security in their lives. I think that could be summed up like that, really.
Yeah. And as Christians, a newspaper reporter asked me yesterday, why do you do it? I said, because God compelled us to go into the world and to preach the gospel. And preaching the gospel is not just by words, it's by your actions as well.
Demonstrating
the love. And we bonded really well. There was one guy called Abelur, an amazing guy, a lovely man, who was the principal of a college and everything, and because of all the problems there, had to flee the country with his 5-year-old son. Otherwise, you know, there's a good chance he'd have been killed because he gave up the Islamic faith. He was a photographer as well. He was public relations director. He edits movies and stuff. So he's now living. And when he was saying cheerio to me, he hugged me. And he burst out sobbing his heart out because we just bonded so well. And at that moment, I cried as well. And I just felt for them. I thought, God, what can I do for these people? All I can do is pray. And I'm still in contact with them through Facebook. Facebook's a great medium. Has bad side, but it's also a great medium for keeping in contact, sending photographs to one another, and his words of comfort. And Abelur has sent me a couple of photographs yesterday of our last picture together. Yeah, so OM is working across the Safe Passage Project across Europe. We're needing finances to keep the work going. Because making 1,200 cups of tea a day is costly. We don't get paid. I have to pay my own way to get there. It probably cost me about £500 or something, which I managed to get together. But we pay 3 local men in Serbia, so there's a consistency of a team there who know the safety regulations of making tea and the chai, and that's supplemented by OM people or friends of OM from the UK, Germany, the Netherlands, France. And there was one of the team members there from Barbados, all the way there just to make cups of tea and play with the kids and just chat.
Okay, so people who are listening, how can they actually help? How can they actually make a difference, an extra help and into people's lives?
Pray is the core thing of Christians, to pray for the situation. Pray that the governments would get their lives, their system sorted out so that these refugees can move on. And if anyone in the UK is worried, I never spoke to anyone who wanted to come to the UK. they all want to stay within Europe, to Italy and Germany. Now, pray. Go onto the OM website, which is uk.om.org. There's a drop-down menu there for give. Click on the give, and then you can put in, if you want to make a donation to what the work is, put in the refugee, the word refugee or Safe Passage Project, and give a donation. And that would go a long way to helping the work that OM is doing out there. So you can be part of it, because in OM we want to be partners with people. And I know a lot of people don't feel that God's leading them to go somewhere, but God may be leading them to say, you've got a few spare pounds there, why don't you donate it? Why don't you help someone? And that 10, 15, 20 pounds or whatever will go a long way to helping OM provide the comfort and the space for these people. I want to call them people because behind the faces of refugees are real people with real stories and real life.
Yeah, agreed with that. Now, if, say, OM had all the resources they needed to, what would be the ideal plan, Philip, of how OM would like to proceed with this?
We can't do anything but do what we're doing. As far as the refugee situation, that's down to governments, to the politicians. We can only continue to serve tea, to be a witness to them. And we have seen people become Christians through the presence of OM people across Europe, from Lesbos. We've seen hundreds of Muslims coming to faith in Christ because they're confronted with the fact, here's a Christian, an infidel who we're told to hate, we're told to kill, but he's given me food, he's given me medical aid, he's given me clothes. So we've had people, there's one guy I know, the student, a guy called Kareem, who got an angel from, that's a New Testament in Arabic, travel for 6 weeks across Europe and met another OM person in Germany and confronted the OM person and said, tell me, how can I become a follower of this Jesus of yours? That makes it all worthwhile.
It does. I think, actually, just to finish off, Philip, I would like to thank you for coming on, and it's great that you've been able to tell us even some of these stories, sad as they are, but yet these are reflections of people's lives, people who could be and do so much if only they were allowed, and hopefully this will speak to a lot of our listeners as well as they listen in, not only today, but on tomorrow evening between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. and on Monday afternoon between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. as well. And we'll also make this interview available as a podcast because it is a very significant one. Shall we actually pray for the situation that the governments and the nations will come to a realization that these people need to have that help and need to have that security to be able to move even back to their own countries again, or at least to have security right where they are and be able to move forward in their lives.
Yeah, if you could pray, Rob, that'd be great.
Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for organizations like Operation Mobilization, for people like Philip Rose who have taken the time and trouble to go out to give of themselves. And yet, Lord God, there's so much wrong in this world, so much wrong whereby the governments are telling people what they should and shouldn't do. So much wrong, Lord God, whereby people are not able to live life to the full the way that you intended, Lord God. Please clarify the situation in people's minds, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that these people who are refugees wouldn't just be political pawns in some kind of weird situation, but people to be respected, people to be uplifted. And, Lord, that these people themselves, they need the security, they need the peace of mind, they need to know that they're going forward. I thank you, Lord, for the good things that are happening, but yet, Lord God, so much more can happen. Thank you, Lord, where your name is being lifted up through the actions of others. But, Lord, it needs to go much further. And we pray, Lord God, that even radio stations like this can go ahead throughout the world and shine lights into these places, Lord God. Take the gospel where even people may not be able to go, but take the gospel. And we just give you thanks and we give you praise for all that you're going to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you and thank you. Amen.
Amen. Rob, if anyone listening would like us to come to their church or meeting, however, I'm willing to travel anywhere in Scotland to share the stories that I've recounted and others about the camp and also the other work that we do. We're also working in Iraq and Syria. I can't say where or what we're doing, but we work in all these countries and God is doing a mighty work. So if anyone wants to come to their church, then get in contact with me through the Glasgow office or through our website.
Excellent. Do you want to give a telephone number for the office so that people can get in contact or an email address?
Give them my email, which is Philip with one L dot Rose, that's R-O-S-E, at om.org. So philip.rose@om.org. To come along.
Excellent, Philip. Can I thank you so much for coming on today? And we're going to be finishing off again with Father's Song. Are there any more songs from Father's Song to come, or is that have they recorded their last?
I haven't recorded any more because just the cost involved. But if you play any Father's Song or you play a Praise Gathering, the choir that is going to be doing concerts 10th, 11th of June, the Royal Concert Hall in Glasgow, choir of over 300 people from 80 different churches, are going to be raising the roof of the Royal Concert Hall. So if anyone's in the Glasgow area, 10th, 11th of June, in the Royal Concert Hall, get your tickets.
Anyway, it so happens I do have another Father's Song available, and it's going to be today.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Okay, so thank you once again, Philip, and be in touch, and we'll put this interview out on podcast at the completion of this programme.
Well, that'd be good to listen to it and pass it on.
Okay.
And blessings to my old friend Rachel Summers.
She's been in contact this morning, and I'm delighted to say that she actually tells me that she's got a new job in Aberdeenshire teaching English as a foreign language.
Wow.
So well done to Rachel, and she's...
Yeah. I'll hopefully see her sometime.